So you might have noticed that I'm not Pastor Paul. Yeah. Pastor Paul is stuck in Scotland. Yeah. So he could not come back. So he asked me to step in the gap. Yeah. And it's always a pleasure to give the word of God. I have to confess, it's always a little bit with trembling and also with fear. But I trust God that He will help me, and that whatever I speak, whatever I preach, that will be for His glory, because that is our desire, that we give glory to Jesus Christ in everything. Yeah. So the scripture which I've chosen for today is from Ephesians 1:13. Yeah. Ephesians 1:13, if you will turn to the Bible with me. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your scripture. We thank You for the eternal purpose. We thank You that You have given us Your words in order for us to come closer to You, Lord Jesus. We ask You to give us understanding of what we have read today and what we will study together. We just ask You that You will open our hearts, Lord, to give us an understanding of Your grace and Your love and Your plans for us, Lord Jesus. Teach us today, Lord Jesus, and let You be glorified in everything, in our songs, in our preaching, in whatever we do today, Lord Jesus, that You are our focus, You are in our midst, and we fix our eyes on You, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So let's look again a little bit in this passage. It's a small passage, but it does contain a lot of information. So first of all, we can see there's a lot of passive verbs in this sentence. Something has been done, not of us, but by God. You were included in Christ. God has included us in Christ. You were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So we see that God has done something for us, with us. On account of what did He do that? We heard the message of truth, the gospel, and we believed. We heard the gospel, and we believed. And what did God do? He saved us. He put a seal upon us. The seal has different meanings. A seal, when you put a seal on something, it shows the authenticity that is genuine. In old days, you sent a letter out, and on the backside, you sealed it with some wax so that nobody could open that letter. And you knew that that was the original, that was the truth in that letter. And also, if you are a farmer, they used to mark their cows, their cattle, with a seal. They burnt the seal into the cow so they knew, okay, This cow is mine. It is my possession. And at the same time, this seal here is also a deposit. Somebody paid an advance payment. Yeah, if you normally have a business transaction, you want to buy something, often you are asked to pay something in advance, a deposit, which guarantee that you will also take full possession of that merchandise. So same with God. He sealed us in order to show that we are His. We are no longer ourselves, but we belong to God. And also, He guarantee our ultimate salvation. He already paid the down payment, the Holy Spirit. So we know that the Holy Spirit is God's seal of approval, His guarantee for us that He will save us completely when Jesus Christ comes again. And all that just because we believed. We believed the message of the gospel, and the rest God did by His grace and His mercy. So He saved us on account of our faith. But sometimes we have to reconsider, what did He save us from? Often we hear He has saved us to something. But the most important thing is, what did God save us from? Where were we before we came to Christ? Let's look a little bit in Ephesians 2, which describes where we were before we came to Christ. It also describes mankind. Where is man in front of God? Ephesians 2 from 1 to 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desire and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His grace, of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So let's look at what we have been saved from. Where were we before we became believers? We were dead in our transgressions. It's awful to be dead, but we were, before God, we were dead. And we used, to follow the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, which is Satan. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. It's a very hard one sometimes to swallow, that our very nature, our whole being deserves the wrath of God. It's not just what we do, but it is what we are. We have inherited the sinful natures from Adam and Eve, and we cannot take this nature by any acts of our own away. So just because of our nature, we were under the wrath of God. It's an awful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. There's a second death, which is called hell. And all those who are under the wrath of God will have to go there. This is what God saved us from. The second death, the hell, an awful thing to consider. So we have no chance to come out of this situation. We were dead in transgression. But God, because of his great love, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. We see our nature causes God wrath. Because of his righteousness, he cannot look at sin. Sin needs to be punished. But God also loves us. So he has to save us from his own wrath because he is rich in mercy. It's a loving God, a righteous God. So he made us alive. He made us alive, alive with Christ because of his grace. And he raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So not only did he make us alive, not only did he save us from hell, from his punishment, but even more because of grace, he seated us with Christ in heaven. It is as if we already were in heaven, in God's eye. Yeah. We live here, but in Christ we are already with God, with Jesus Christ in heaven. It is not of ourselves. We read before in the first chapter that we were included in Christ because we believed. But who made us believe? It was Jesus Christ. It was God. It's by grace we are saved through faith. But this faith did not come by ourselves. It was God who gave us this faith. God has to open our heart so when we hear the message, we believe. God makes us believe so that no one can boast. It's not by works. We have done nothing, but God in his mercy, his love, decided to save us. By his sovereign will, we do not know why does God save some people. He has mercy on those whom he will have mercy. He is sovereign, who can talk back to God. But we're glad that he chose us. We're glad that he did not leave us in darkness. He did not leave us under his wrath. This is what we have been saved from. There are a lot of other benefits, but this is the most important thing. That's why Jesus came, to save us from our sin, to give us fellowship with him. It's something we always need to come back to. We often take it for granted because we're so used to it, but we need to see it again and again, yeah? We need to see what amazing love God has poured out upon us from his free will, not something we deserve. We're absolutely undeserving, but because of his great mercy, he gave us new life, He created us anew in Jesus Christ. He gave us a new life. Yeah, we have to be born again. This is what Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus when he met him. You have to be born again. Can we bear ourselves again? Can we decide, I want to be born again? No, we cannot. But it's a work of God. It gives us the Holy Spirit. So we have a new life. We have become alive. So when we talk about salvation, yeah, how do we know that we're saved? How do we know that we are the children of God? It's important to know that we are His. God knows who belong to Him. Because He's put a seal of ownership on us. So God knows who belong to Him. And Jesus also said in John 10:14, let's look at that verse, what Jesus is saying about those who belong to Him. It says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So Jesus Christ knows His sheep. He knows those who follow Him. And also in 2 Timothy 2:19, I'll just take a quick look. It says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with His inscription, the Lord knows those who are His. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. So God knows us. He cannot be mistaken. But do we also know that we belong to God? How do we know that we are really saved? What proves that we are saved? We need to know. And I believe God also gives us assurance so that we can know. The evidence is that we are saved, so that we can look at these evidences to see, wow, I am truly a son, a daughter of God. It is true what the Bible says. I'll give you 8 evidences that you belong to God, that you are truly born again, that is not just something you have made up, but something you know in your heart. Yes, I'm a child of God. I have been saved. One is the love for the Word, the love for the Scripture. The one who loves God also loves what He says. The one who loves God wants to obey Him. In Psalms 119:97, so I just need to have my glasses. I can read, but it's not so clear. I have mine here. Thank you. This one I'll show. Thank you. So Psalm 119:9-7. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. So to love the Word of God means that you read it, you think about it, you meditate upon it. So if you love God, you will love His Word, you want to take more of His words in. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If we want to grow, we need to eat. Yeah. Likewise, in Psalms 109-105, we see how important the Word of God is. It's a light. And it's a lamp. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. So we need the Word of God to guide us, not from time to time, but every day we need to eat. We need to eat from God's Word, otherwise we cannot grow. We cannot know what is the will of God. We cannot know what is pleasing to God. So the Word of God is what we need. Yeah. So the love for the Word of God is one evidence that we belong to God. You cannot say, I love God, I know Him, but you do not want to know what He says. Does not go together. Yeah. Jesus also said in John 8:32, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So it's 31 to 32. If we hold on to the teaching of Jesus Christ, if we remain in His teaching, we remain in the Bible, it's a sign that we belong to Jesus Christ. I do not know if you have realized that once a month, every Wednesday, we have a Bible study. So I would like to invite you to come first Wednesday of the month that we study the Word of God together. It's an opportunity. So I invite you once again, yeah, do not forget, do not neglect to come together, that we together can grow, hear the Word of God, discuss it, and come to know more deep things of God. So apart from the love for the Word, there's also an experience. We're not just saved. We do not just receive the Holy Spirit and nothing has changed. No, it's a real experience. We might not know it when it happened. Maybe it's not a dramatic experience. But there is a change. We cannot receive the Holy Spirit without something had happened to us. This is why Jesus says in John 3:3 to the Nicodemus, you have to be born again, otherwise you cannot see the kingdom of God. We must receive the Holy Spirit. If we are not received the Holy Spirit, we are not in Christ. We see in different conversion experience in the Acts, for example, if we talk about the Ethiopian eunuch, who was saved on his way back. Philip ran to him and explained the scripture to him, and immediately he believed. Because God opened his heart that he could understand and believe. And his reaction was he wanted to be baptized. And he rejoiced greatly. The same is with the jailer in Acts 16, 27 to 35. When the gates of the prison were open and the chains were open of Paul and Silas, he fell in fear before them and said, "What shall we do to be saved?" He already repented. What shall he do to be saved? And Paul said, "Believe, you and your household shall be saved." And immediately the jailer changed his attitude towards Paul. He washed the wounds and everything. So see, there's a reaction after his salvation. And there was great joy. This is one of the marks of a Christian, the joy which follows salvation. You know that something has happened to you, that God has given you something which you did not have before. So the immediate reaction of salvation is joy. There's a great joy, not just in heaven, but also in your heart. You know, wow, God exists. He has forgiven me. He's given me a new life. This joy of salvation, sometimes it can be a little bit weak in our daily life because a lot of things come in from the world which distract us, which push us, which demand from us. So we always need to come back to the joy of our salvation. It's not something which we should take lightly. We should always consider this again and again and know, wow, God has saved me from this, from his wrath. He has given me eternal life in Jesus Christ. It's not a small thing. It's the greatest gift you can have. It's the joy of salvation. We always need to come back to have this joy. The joy we have is also an evidence that we have been saved. Yeah. We might not always be joyful because of different things, but generally, this joy should always come in our heart. So, wow, I'm a child of God. God has saved me. He has united me with him. This is a great miracle which God did to us. Why to me? Why to you? Because God has chosen that of his grace. So the joy of salvation needs to be restored again and again. Yeah. Also, if we are a child of God, we want to obey Jesus Christ. We want to obey his teaching. We want to please him. Once we were sinners and were in disobedience to Christ, but now we are together with Christ against sin, against wickedness, against filthiness. We want to please God. It's a evidence of our salvation that we want to be pleasing to God. And if you want how to please God, what is his pleasing will? Well, he has given us his Bible. We can open the Bible. We can easily see what is pleasing to God. There's a matter. Well, we obey him. And normally, well, we want to please God. It's an evidence that we are in Christ. And one very important evidence is described in the whole chapter of 1 John. Let's look in 1 John. It's a very strong evidence. So 1 John 2:10. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. In 11, but anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. So the love we have for our sisters and brothers is an evidence that we are in Christ. Love does not come natural always, yeah? But the love we have for our sisters and brothers is an evidence of our salvation. God has put us together. He has united us in Jesus Christ. Yeah? His creators are new. Yeah? So we are a spiritual house together. The love for our sisters and brothers is an important evidence. Yeah? And it's sometimes a sacrificial love. Sometimes it's hard to love. But God makes it possible for us. Sometimes we need to forgive one another. Yeah. Sometimes we need to go an extra mile with one another. Sometimes we have to give a brother something who is in need. Yeah. Because God is love, our love for one another also shows our love for God. We cannot love God and hate a brother. It's impossible. Then we are liars, the Bible says. There must be fruit if we are belonging to Christ. We cannot be born again and receive the Holy Spirit and there's no fruit. There must be actions which we show that we belong to Jesus Christ. We just proclaim we know Jesus Christ, but there's no action, there's no change in our actions. We still live as we did before. Then we need to examine ourselves. Jesus said, those who belong to me, they will bring fruit. Some more, some less, but they will bring fruit. Yeah. We don't always know what that fruit is, yeah, but God knows the fruit. God is also one who is pruning us, disciplining us in order for us to bring fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, if we receive the Holy Spirit, there will also be fruit. We cannot have the Holy Spirit, there's no fruit of the Spirit. You all know the famous Galatians 5:22, which describes this fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit containing different characters. So 5:22, is this correct? Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. We cannot always display this fruit at all time, but generally this should be our character, or at least the mirror where we should look upon to what we should strive against. And the Spirit of God helps us. He's more than willing to help us to bear this fruit. But you always have to look at this. Okay, am I really displaying this fruit? Or is there need for growth? Is there need for change? Do I need to come before God and ask Him to help me to bear this fruit? Yeah, sometimes we need. We need to be refreshed, yeah, and look where we are. We are in Christ. The Holy Spirit is in us. So the food should be coming. Unless we cover it with a lot of things from the world, then it's more difficult. Yeah. If we look into the things of the world, the craving of the world, then sometimes it becomes difficult. But we need to come back and see, this is the character of Jesus Christ. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit is like Jesus. There's no difference. So if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, we also see this, it's the character of Jesus Christ. It's the character of God. This should be something we should strive. We should strive against, towards this. Yeah, we are all on a journey. Yeah, it's a process. We cannot expect that all these things are coming at one time about salvation, but we should strive against this in order to give glory to God. It will glorify God if His children are showing more and more of His character. So one more thing which might be surprising as an evidence that we belong to God, that we are His children. If we look in Hebrews 12, 6 to 8. It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and He chastens everyone He accepts as His son. And your hardship as discipline, God is treating you as His children. For what children are not disciplined by their fathers? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all." Wow. So if we're not disciplined by God, if we're not pruned, then we have to consider, am I really a child of God? God loves me, but God's love sometimes does not show. It seems that God is punishing us, but He is disciplining us. He wants us to be more like Christ. So sometimes He needs to correct us. He needs to change us, yeah. And that, how that God does this, is it in His sovereign will and His power, to circumstances, to people, whatever. But He will discipline us. Maybe we have not noticed it. Maybe we have thought, oh, why does this happen to me? Why do I have to do this? Why is God not loving me? But actually God is loving you. That's why this happens to you. And at the time, it's not very pleasant to go through that. But when you have come through it, your faith has been strengthened. You have been more relying on God than yourself. So God is disciplining you from time to time. Maybe you don't always need it, but sometimes we need to be disciplined in order to follow Christ. Yeah. So when you are going through hard times, it might be God who is disciplining you. Or showing you also, oh, you are my child, so you have to listen to me. Yeah. So one more thing, which is a characteristic of one who is belonging to Christ. Yeah. If we look in the Bible, we know that Jesus Christ will come again. He'll return. And if we look forward to that event with expectation, with joy, it's also a sign that we belong to Christ. We're wanting Him to come back to give us full redemption, to give us full salvation. And that will not happen until Jesus Christ is coming again. So we're looking forward to His return. There's nothing we are fearful about. It's something we look forward to. The complete salvation of our souls and our bodies. So a sign and evidence of salvation is we look towards Jesus Christ's coming again. So I hope you have not been frightened by what I've said, because you do not have all this evidence at once, but there will be some evidence. Not at all time, but from time to time. So look, there's the joy. There's the love. There's the trust. There's the fruit. All these kind of things show we are truly God's daughters and sons. It should give us great joy. For what a great salvation have Jesus Christ brought about. He paid a price. We read before, He made a down payment. He paid a high price for us with His own life, He shed his blood to cover all our sins. It's a high price to pay, not because we're worthy of that, but it's a reflection of our sinfulness and of our darkness. So we look at Jesus Christ's suffering, we can also see that is how deep our sins were and what God has saved us from. So in our hearts, there must also generally be a thankfulness. Wow, God has saved us from this, saved us from his wrath. He's given us new life from now on to all eternity with him, with Jesus Christ. Let's embrace this and also continue to strengthen us in the faith, to build one another up, because there's also a part of love to admonish one another. It's to stir one another towards good deeds. God wants us to be assured of our salvation. He wants that we know that we're his. Yeah? He wants us to know that we belong to him, because that will strengthen us, strengthen our faith and in our walk. So all what I have been talking about, the evidence, our outward evidence that we belong to Christ, there's also an inward evidence. In Romans 8:16, it says, Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So the Spirit of God, which God has given us, the Holy Spirit, who lives in us, he also confirmed with our own spirit we are God's children. So we know that we belong to Christ, not just by our outward actions, but we also know it because the Holy Spirit confirms it to us. There's a confidence that we know we are children of God, and that is an amazing thing. Yeah. So consider these things for yourself. The evidence, the joy, the love, the fruit. Test yourself. Do I have these things? Not always, but generally, most of the times. Then you know, I belong to God. Not just now, but eternally. What can then anybody do to us? Nobody can do anything to us. We are protected by God. We belong to him forever. And that's a testimony we have towards the world, the love for God and love for one another. There's still some more evidences that we belong to God. The longing to be together is one. The longing to be together, to pray to God, to worship him, yeah, to give him thanks. All these things are evidence. Evidence that you have come here today. Otherwise, why would you come here to hear the word of God if you do not belong to him? There's also an evidence. Yeah. So I hope you've been strengthened by these things. But consider, you reflect on it. Try to take all these things away which hinder us. There are a lot of things in the world which hinder us. So take away our joy, our love, and so on. Let this not happen. Continue to come back to the word of God. Continue to come back to his promises. We'll now have a time of the Lord's Supper where we consider it at the same time. What did Jesus Christ do for us? What did he save from us? What did he pay in order for us to come out of darkness into the light? So let us take the Lord's Supper, the bread and the juice, the wine, with thankfulness, with joy, with gladness.